Welcome to Love You Most. I cannot believe that we're in September. It feels so weird that it's like almost, I don't know, like getting ready to be autumn. Honestly, when I think of September, I actually think of it being autumn, but then I realize like it isn't really until like the end of September that we have like our first day of like fall or whatever, but it feels like autumn to me. And I don't know where you live, but it is starting to get chilly here. I went out by the water yesterday and literally was like, I need to put on like a crew neck or I don't know, button up or zip up or something because I was really chilly. And whenever you're by the water, it's always like a couple degrees colder than like normal because the wind that comes off the water is like really cold. So my backyard is already like very like fall-esque, but it's wild that you can easily like take for granted what you already have, because I feel like for the last, I don't know, couple of weeks, I've been just like in a fall mood, just like I'm so ready. I can't wait to do all the fall things, like, you know, painting pumpkins and like going to a pumpkin patch and going to corn mazes and like all the fun fall stuff. But I went to Michigan with some friends and got like a little taste of the cold weather. It was like 55 degrees Fahrenheit, which I want to say is like 22 degrees Celsius. I really don't know. And honestly, that is like a just, I could go on like a long like chat about how I feel like the United States should be on like Celsius because everyone else is, but you know, obviously we all learn Fahrenheit and that's what we use here. Anyway, I feel like once I got a taste of the cold, I was like, okay, you can have it back now. Like, it was nice for like a day. And then when we were like bundling up to go walk downtown and it was like literally getting cold, like we were in our sweaters and stuff, I just kept being like, why am I not enjoying summer while it's still here? Because I know that the minute it gets to be cold, I'm going to miss the summer days. And so right now, instead of trying to like rush to fall, I'm kind of like back in my, I don't know, I don't want to say back, I guess. I just am in the mindset of trying to enjoy where I am right now versus like looking to the future and like wanting something that I don't have yet. And if you're in somewhere that has 100 degree weather, you might be thinking, well, it's easy for you to say when you have like 80 degree weather, but just wait until you are in that like middle of winter, like, and I don't know, maybe you do still get sun, but like for us, like we don't get very much sun in the Midwest, especially in the winter. And so like, just wait until you're that middle of winter and you're like, man, I wish I could lay out, or I can't wait till it's like sunny again. And you kind of have to wait until summer comes back around. Like, we just always want what we can't have. So try to go to the pool, like soak up the sun while you have it, enjoy it, get a tan, or just like bask in it. I mean, obviously it's going to be hot, but like sit inside in the cool air conditioning and let the sun come through your window and read a book. Like, I feel like it's easy for us to take for granted what we have when we have it, and then want something different. And then when we get that different thing, we want what we used to have. So this episode is all about reminders you didn't know that you needed. I feel like you guys liked the last episode that was like similar to this, with reminders that I just really like feel like I need to give myself often. And so I hope that these are good things that will really resonate with you. And if they don't, maybe share this episode with someone that you think needs to hear all these little reminders. I actually keep like a list in my notes app of like things that make me happy. So like whenever I'm having like a really low day, I can just go to that list and pick something off that list to go do to like put me in a better mood, or just like dump all those good things into one day so it'll like turn my day around. Like, example, if I have a long work day and it's like stressful and it's hard, I will like go to my list at the end of the day and be like, okay, what three things can I take from this list and go do? And it might be read a book. It might be go get a coffee from Starbucks. It might be go window shop at Target, or it might be go outside and have a picnic and do a puzzle or watch the sunset, something like that. And I also create a list that's kind of similar to that, but just a little bit different. And it's with reminders that I feel like I need when, like, I don't know, I just am having a rough time. And so these reminders, I feel like, are very near and dear to me, and I haven't really shared a lot of these things with really anyone. Sometimes I'll share things like this on my feed because I feel like on Instagram, I share a lot of positivity and self-love, but I think it's so much more powerful being able to like voice these things and things that I feel like, yes, it's nice to read, but like sometimes it's even better to hear. So I hope these resonate with you. And if they don't, again, just like, I hope you feel like this is just a little friendly chat. Don't ever feel like you need to take anything from this podcast. Don't ever feel like you need to change who you are because of this podcast. This is just two people, three people, however many people listening, just hanging out like besties and having the best time, hopefully. After this episode, or like at the very end, we will have our little book chat, and then I'll do a little Q&A and answer some of you guys' questions. So let's just get into it. And the first reminder that you didn't know you needed is that waking up to watch the sunrise is the best way to start the day. It's free, it takes minimal effort, and it'll give you enough serotonin to last the entire day. And I feel like this is something that I have to tell myself often because it is such a pain to drag myself out of bed when I want those extra minutes of sleep. But the minute that I drag myself out of bed and actually go sit outside, even if it's just for like 5 minutes, like I'll go out and eat my breakfast, just drop some cereal into a bowl, grab my oat milk and go and sit outside and watch the sunrise with my bowl of cereal. I cannot tell you how like on cloud nine I feel. It is just wild how much a sunrise and a sunset can like change your mood. And so I try to remind myself of this whenever I'm feeling a little down, like that I need to get up and start watching the sunrise. And maybe you don't live in an area that has like water or like nature or anything like that. So you can like easily go onto your backyard or your back porch or your front porch, or just like walk into your on your sidewalk and watch it. There are actually like benefits mentally with like your brain that the sunrise and the sunset gives you. So the sunrise actually gives your body serotonin, which is like a feel good little like chemical. I don't know if that's the word. Don't quote me on literally anything. So like look it up for yourself. But this is like what I have kind of like figured out, but I literally encourage you to look it up for yourself because I am not a doctor, a chemist, or a naturologist. I'm none of those things. So, you get like serotonin from seeing the sunrise. And then whenever you see the sunset, you get like melatonin, which helps you go to sleep. And so those two things just from like being in nature can completely change your day because you're starting your day with something you need and ending it with something that you also need. So that's the first reminder that I think you probably didn't know you needed, and just like a little bit of encouragement for you. The second reminder that you didn't know you needed is that you are in charge of your own happiness, and it's only up to you to make sure that you choose to be happy so that you can live a long and happy life. And I feel like I remind myself of this often because sometimes I think like, well, you know, I'm not happy because like my circumstances are X, Y, and Z, or I'm not happy because this person is acting this way towards me, or life is lifing or whatever. But like literally, you are in charge of your happiness. And yes, I do recognize 100% that there are imbalances like chemically that people have to like go and get help for. We're not talking about that. We're talking about like people who maybe don't like have something that they need to like go get assistance with, or if you're already getting help with those things, like I feel like I want to encourage you to really try to take charge of your own life. I think it's easy for us to put our happiness and joy and just like our life into the hands of someone else, whether that's your boyfriend, your parents, your friends at school, coworkers, or whoever, and just feel like, oh, well, you know, they're having a bad day, so I guess I am too. And like, let them kind of run our lives for us, or just like the people around us. And I really want to encourage you to remind yourself that you are in charge of your own happiness. And it can be easy to think that the people around you are in charge of your happiness or should make you happy. And I do think you should be with people or be around people who are making you happy. But overall, they shouldn't be the ones who are your sole source of joy and happiness. And so I think it's encouraging knowing that I'm in charge of my happiness because it like allows me to just like fully invest into myself. Like if someone else was in charge of my happiness, I feel like I could easily blame them and be like, well, I'm not happy and it's your fault because whatever, whatever. But because it's my like responsibility, I sure as heck am getting up to watch that sunrise, or I sure as heck am going to make sure that I bring joy into my day. Like it is my responsibility to myself, and no one is going to show up for me like I show up for myself. So remind yourself of this when you maybe are feeling a little bit down. Like, you're in charge of your happiness. So, like, try to do things that can bring you joy, because I don't know, no one else is in charge of that but you. And another reminder that you didn't know you needed is that you're doing it. You're healing despite all that you've been through, everything that people said you wouldn't be able to accomplish. You're doing it, and that's something to be proud of. And I know it's messy, I know it's hard, and you don't always get it right, but you're doing it, and you should be proud of yourself for that and for how far you've come. And that reminder is one thing that I have to tell myself again and again, because it is so easy to like look at how far you have to go versus how far you've come. And there's actually this book that I picked up recently called The Gap in the Gain. I don't know who the author is, but I heard it's a really good book to read if you really struggle with like that comparison of yourself, like your future self, and not really looking at your past self. Because if we as humans always looked at our past self, we would be like, hey, I'm doing pretty good. Like, I, you know, at 7 couldn't ride a bike, and now I'm riding a bike as an adult. Or, you know, when I was in high school, I didn't have a job, and I was in high school, and now as an adult, I have a job. And like those small things that like as a kid, we would just be so excited that we have now. But as an adult, it's easy for us to look at our future self and be like, well, I have a job, but it's not this job, or it doesn't pay this much. Or, yeah, you know, I can ride a bike, but like, who has time for that as an adult? Like, it's just so easy for us to like make our life feel minuscule. And so I want to remind you, you are doing it. You are healing, you're growing, you're living, you're existing. And existing can be hard. And I feel like it's easy to just get down on ourselves when we feel like we're not where we're supposed to be, but you're doing it. You're living life. And so that's like something to be proud of. The next reminder that I feel like is a good one that you didn't know that you needed is that you need to pretend like you're the main character in a movie. Romanticize every moment. Like, romanticize when you pull the covers off in the morning, or when you take your first breath, when you step outside for the first time each day. You already have all that you need right now. And I feel like I want to add that along with like romanticizing your day, because it's easy for us to think like, well, I'll romanticize my day, or I will like be grateful for what I have when I have this, or when I have that, or when this hard thing is over, or when whatever. Like, and there is never going to be a point when life is perfect. And I know that can kind of sound like scary, just me saying that right off the bat. But honestly, to me, it's a little liberating, because if we know that life is never going to be perfect, and maybe it'll be better than it is right now, but if it's never going to be perfect, like absolutely perfect in every single like situation, whether it's with friendships, family, financially, where we live, like who we love, where we work, like if it's never going to be absolutely perfect just because that is life, then that means that we have to really try to like find the beauty in every single day. And there is beauty there. We're just like so focused on the hard stuff sometimes that I feel like it's easy for us to overlook the beauty that we already have. And so start romanticizing your day. Like when you think of cartoon characters and when they wake up in the morning, there's like the sun comes through the windows and they stretch and they like pull the covers off and they do a little dance and they turn on some music and they go and like whip up breakfast and dance around and sing and like all these things. But then like us as humans, we're like, okay, like let's, you know, just roll over, crawl out of bed, take a shower, like go eat, like hum-de-dum-de-dum. Like we're just so like the opposite of those like main characters in movies. And I feel like when we start living our lives like we're the main character, I think that that's when our life will open up to like the goodness that we already have. Because like it a lot, I think I'm just like tripping over my words because I have so much like passion for this, because I really struggled in high school and college, especially with just like sadness and like feelings of like, I don't know, loneliness and just feeling like lost and hopeless. And I feel so different now. And a large part of that is perspective, but also like finding beauty in like each day. And it is not easy to find that beauty all the time, but like it's there and you have to really dig for it sometimes, but it is there. And I think when you start romanticizing your day and just like acting like a main character in a movie, and it might sound silly or feel silly, but like try it for a day and see like how you feel. Like if you get in the car instead of just driving straight to work, or you know, taking the subway to work or taking the bus or whatever, instead of just doing that, maybe turn on a song and like dance a little bit. And I'm not talking like if you're, you know, on the bus or the subway, I'm not talking like dance in the middle of the aisle or something, but like nod your head, tap your feet, like, you know, sway your shoulders, just like enjoy the music. And when you're walking into your building, instead of just walking straight to your like, you know, business or office or wherever you work or front desk or just whatever you're walking to, instead of just walking straight there, talk to the person that you see when you come in, ask them how their day is, and like comment on someone's outfit and what you like about their outfit. Or I don't know, just like main characters in movies make everything a moment. They like twirl into their office and they cartwheel down the hall and they just like do everything so extravagantly. And yes, we don't all have to do that. Like I know everyone isn't an extrovert and that is kind of like a little scary to think of, but I think when we start trying to make things and life a little bit more fun and we're a little bit more playful, it'll just make it more enjoyable. And the next reminder that you didn't know you needed is there comes a point when you've been on so many solo dates that it feels abnormal if you go a week without them. And I know it kind of feels weird for me to say that if you're someone who hasn't done like solo dates, but you'll learn to not only love your own company, but you'll crave it and you'll no longer feel lonely because you'll know that like you're the only person who can just like bring this full sense of joy into your life. And not that other people can't, but like, I don't know, it helps you to realize that you don't need to rely on everyone around you to make you happy, because you can create that feeling on your own. And I think when you start learning to love your alone time and your solo dates, people start to gravitate towards you because you're already happy on your own and you're not necessarily looking to like build friends just to lean on. Like I feel like I used to have friends where a large part of our friendship was like where I felt like, I don't know, the main source of the friendship was to lean on each other. And now like I look back and I'm like, I needed a therapist. Like friends are not your therapist. Like friends are supposed to be there, of course, for the hard times. But I think so often we lean on them like they're therapists, like they know, you know, everything. And they don't. Like they didn't go to school for that. They're not trained for that. Like they're going to tell us the advice that they think is good, but like they don't really know. And I don't know. I just feel like whenever you start going on solo dates, it builds confidence in yourself to realize that you can do it alone. Like you can have joy alone. You can have fun alone. You can not rely on someone else to make your day happy or good or bring joy into your life. And then, I don't know, people start to gravitate towards you because they see that confidence in you. And it's just like a really beautiful thing. And another reminder that you didn't know you needed, which this one is a big, big one. Take a deep breath. Like literally right now, take a deep breath, relax your shoulders, wiggle your shoulders, relax your jaw. It's all going to be okay. Take a deep breath, relax your jaw, relax your shoulders, wiggle your shoulders, it's all going to be okay. And that reminder, I think, just says everything on its own. Like, there really isn't much else to say with that, but it can feel like it's not going to be okay. But think about the things that you've gotten through in the past and remind yourself that you've gotten through hard things before, so you'll get through hard things again. And that always really encourages me. And another reminder that you didn't know you needed is getting outside each day to soak in nature is so important. And even if it's only for 5 minutes, it'll completely change how you feel and it'll make your day so much better, like so much better. I think I've talked like multiple times about how I like get the winter blues literally every single year. Like it is just impossible for me. I don't want to say impossible because I at some point hope that I don't get the winter blues, but every single year I get the winter blues. Like when the sun's not out, even in the summertime, when it's gloomy, I get the blues. I'm just like, oh my gosh, like life is hard, like things are tough, like, and it's just literally, I don't have any sun. And then the sun comes out and I'm like, wow, this day is great. Like, it's beautiful. I want to go and like cartwheel in the grass outside. I am just loving life. And it's literally just the sun. And so one thing that has really helped me is to get outside in nature every single day, because I think that even if it's gloomy, there's something really like nurturing to my soul about sitting in the grass and just like, I don't know, taking a deep breath. And I think the silence of nature also is really calming to me, or the silence of the water if I'm like, you know, in our backyard or at the park, or the laughter of kids if they're over at a playground, like just all the noises of the atmosphere that I'm in just really calm me. And I don't know, I've been trying to do that and it's really helped so much. So I feel like that's a reminder that you probably didn't know you needed, but probably really, really need. And another reminder that you didn't know you needed is to feel your emotions instead of escaping them. And this one is actually one that I really had to learn the hard way. Last year, I actually stopped traveling for, I don't know, a couple months, and it was something that was really transformational for me. But I really was, I don't know, I got into this kick where it was before like August, but I constantly was traveling, like just all the time, nonstop. I could not be home for anything. And when I was home, there was a lot going on that was like really hard. So I understand why I didn't want to be home, because I didn't really want to deal with the emotions and feelings that I was feeling when I was home. There was a lot of family stuff going on and just like a lot of hard things that were happening. And my like go-to was like, you know what? Let me travel every weekend. Let me travel during the week. And I got to a point where I just had to realize, like, you're not going to work through your emotions if you're constantly running from them. And so I kind of like made myself stop traveling after August through, I want to say it was through like December or something like that, which, I mean, probably doesn't seem like a lot for people who maybe just like don't work from home. But since I work from home and I work for myself, it's really easy for me to work literally anywhere. And I also feel like, I don't know, it's just when you get into a habit of doing something, it's kind of hard to break a habit if you haven't figured out another like alternative to just like having a better life experience. And for me, that was making my life better, like traveling. So I kind of stopped and I was like, okay, this is really hard. Like, I'm not going anywhere. I'm not even, you know, I would, if I was home, and it wasn't always like taking a big trip, but sometimes I would drive just like an hour and a half away or 2 hours just to like get out of my house, get out of my town, you know, just be somewhere different. And I realized that I wasn't working through those emotions. And when I finally sat with those emotions, whoo, that was so hard. So, so hard. But I healed so much faster just like sitting with the hard thing versus like running from it and trying to just like cover it up. So I really want to encourage you to feel your emotions instead of escaping them. And along with that, work through your emotions. And maybe that's through therapy, maybe that's on your own. I feel like it's so easy to try to run from how you feel, but those feelings will not go away. And another reminder that you didn't know you needed is, don't ever let anyone tell you that what you like to do is boring. And I think that this is one I have to remind myself of often, because now that I don't drink nearly as often and I don't really like go out as much, I still have such a hard time saying no. And I think it's because it's so ingrained in my brain just from society that like, if you're not drinking, you're not fun, you're boring. If you're, you know, staying inside doing a puzzle, or you're reading a book, or you're playing a computer game, like you're weird, you're nerdy, you're, you know, whatever society wants to say that you are. And that's just not true. And I think on the flip side, you know, if you are someone who does like to go out all the time and you do like to throw back drinks, like all the negative things that people say about that, like you're also not that either. Like, don't let anyone dictate your life for you and tell you that what you should or shouldn't do with your time, or what you shouldn't do with just like your interests. I don't know. And don't let anyone tell you what you're like to do is boring, because it is so easy for other people to just like push their emotions onto you as to like how they feel about something. But like, if that's not their interest, that's totally fine. They don't have to be interested in anything you're interested in. Like, just, it's totally fine. So now we're going to get into our little Q&A segment. There's only a couple questions I'm going to answer. I haven't really been getting a ton of questions from you guys, so make sure that you're submitting over on the Love You Most Pod Instagram. I try to put up the like little Instagram story question box on like Monday or Tuesday, but I always put it up throughout the week at some point before Friday. I think last week I put it up on let's see, what day was it? I think it was Thursday, and then obviously I like made the podcast and it went up on Friday. But this week, I think I put it up on Sunday this week. So there's been, or maybe it was Monday, there's just definitely been some time between like when I'm filming and like when it goes up. But I always make sure that it stays up for a good amount of time so you guys can drop in your questions. And if I don't answer something on one episode, I'll try to like roll it over into another episode so that way like I can answer as many as possible. But I want this to just be like a fun, friendly chat. Like, and it's nice whenever you guys submit like questions because it just makes it feel like more interactive. And it makes it feel like there's a real person on the other side of this, like, I don't know, mic. One of the things you guys said was, no question, just loved you. You've changed my life and love of books through Insta and YouTube. And that makes me feel so good. It's so weird. I don't want to get emotional. Oh my gosh. It's so weird how just last year, literally last August, I started sharing my voice with you guys. Like, I kid you not, it was literally last August. And before that, I would make a lot of like fashion related videos, but I wouldn't really talk. I would put like a lot of music overlay on top, or sometimes I would put like text on the screen, like, you know, fall outfits or spring outfits or whatever. And there came a point where I was just like, I think it was one of my friends. She was like, I absolutely love your personality and you're so vibrant, but I can't really see that in what you share on the internet. And that really made me realize that like a large part of who I am wasn't being like relayed through the content I was making and what I was sharing. And so I think the thing that's most important to me and has always been most important to me is you guys. Like, if I didn't have a community to like hang out with, to talk to, I would not want to like have this as my job. Like, I'm so serious. I used to work in a like nonprofit that helped neurodivergent children and families. And I just like love that work. And I worked in that field for 8 years and was absolutely obsessed with it. And it was really, really hard for me to like let go of that. But I think what helped me let go of that was I knew I was going from one community that I would like help and just like be there for to another community I could like help and be there for and just like support and hang out with. And that community is you. And so without you guys, I don't think that this would be something I would actually enjoy, because yeah, like creating the content's fun, outfits are fun, you know, making videos and things are also fun, but you are what makes it like just meaningful and something that I would want to like do as a job and not just a hobby. I think without you guys, I would like creating the content, but I just wouldn't like want it as a full-time job. I would just like, just, I don't know. I just couldn't do it. Like, you are what makes it so special. So thank you. That just like means so much. Another thing that you guys asked was, what's my go-to coffee order while reading? And one of you guys actually asked this last week. So I'm trying to go back through some of the old questions. And my go-to coffee order is a venti iced chai with vanilla sweet cream cold foam from Starbucks. I usually get oat milk. I don't know if I answered this question or not, but I need to like delete the old like questions that I answer so I make sure I don't go back through the same ones. Another thing that you guys asked was, what did you study and how useful is it today? I studied English with a minor in sociology at Truman State University in Kirksville. I did not graduate. This is a long story, but I was in school for like 5 years and I went to college for nursing because I felt like that would be like the most lucrative job. And at the time, you know, when you're out of high school, you're like, I want to make money. You know, that's just what I want to do. So did that, you know, realized that was not for me. And then I switched to something I loved, which you guys know I always have loved books. And so English is like a pretty close, I don't know, type of field to books. Didn't really know what I wanted to do with it. And then I ended up deciding that I wanted to like have a secondary education, like, I don't know, focus, which would mean that I would be like a professor in college, which obviously you guys know I'm literally an influencer. So like, what the heck? But so I got that. And then I ended up having that minor in sociology later on because I started like finding so much joy in like what I was doing as my just job. I was working with neurodivergent children and families, and I was doing it on like a entry level basis, but I was just like falling in love with it so much. So that's what I ended up adding in the sociology minor, because I was like, well, I'm obviously not like leaning towards being a professor anymore. So let me figure out how I can like make this work. And then as I kept working in that field, I got a like promotion to be like a manager, but I would have to be like in an office 40 hours a week. And I just like honestly was like, okay, this is what I want to do. If I graduate with my degree, it has nothing to do with what I even want to do in my career. Like, should I just take this leap? And I just decided to just like not finish and work in this job. And I was working as a manager. So fell in love with it. And then I ended up like moving up in that position to another position that was like another higher management position. And then I went from there to being like a director position. And I was like helping families in 18 counties all over the state. So long story short, I studied as an English major and had a minor in sociology, didn't end up graduating, but if I did, it would have really been useful to me today in the sense of like books stuff, but I do think that I learned so much from college, and if I could have like gone all the way back to do it over again, I would still go to college. I personally think that I would just like major in things that I only love. And I know that that kind of sounds like crazy because like I paid for my own schooling, so it's not like I was just like getting like a free ride, you know, to go to college, but I think there are some things that you like can't really learn without college unless it's like years down the line. So like for me, one thing that was like really taught was like, I don't know, critical thinking. And it feels like a weird thing to say that like college taught me to critically think, but like it really did. Because in high school, I feel like you are kind of taught to like take information and memorize the information and then just like keep it in your brain. Whereas in college, you are kind of like given information and then you're taught to like decide how you think and feel about it. And so there would be so many times where I would like show up to class and I would have like read something or like digested some type of information. And the professor would be like, so what do you guys think about it? And my first thought would be like, well, what do you think about it? Because whatever you think is what I think because I want a good grade. But like the teacher didn't really care as much about like what I was like, they didn't really care about whether I had the right or wrong answer a lot of the time. It was more like, how did I get to that answer? Which is how you like learn to critically think on your own. So I think that I've obviously like learned to dig deeper into like critically thinking and like deeper thinking on my own as an adult, but I think it would have taken a much longer time. And so, yes, it is an expensive way to learn to critically think, but I think that there's also so many other things that I learned in college. So I would definitely go back and do it again. Also, I met like my husband there. I met like such incredible people. I had so many great experiences that I couldn't have experienced outside of college. Or at least I wouldn't have experienced for a really long time outside of college. So yeah, it just was like a really good experience, definitely an expensive one. But I mean, we spend money on things every single day. Like example, all of us or most of us will try to like spend money on some type of transportation. Maybe it's not a car, but maybe you're paying like to get to and from work in some capacity. Like maybe you have a bike, or maybe you're paying for the bus or the subway or whatever. Like, you're paying for some mode of transportation, and we see value in that. So that's why we pay for it. And obviously, like, you know, the bus or the subway or a bike or a car might not necessarily like add up to meaning how much a college degree is. But I think just like the concept of like us finding value in something, so we decide to pay for it, and it's not even like a question. Like, we aren't like, you know what? We're just like not gonna go to work because we like don't feel like paying for, you know, transportation to get there. We're going to like pay for it. And I think with schooling, like maybe you don't go for 4 years, but maybe you just go for a year, or you go to like a, what's it called? Like a, I can't even think, community college, or you go to like a junior college. That's what it's called. You do something that like allows you to broaden your like brain capacity, but it's not maybe as inexpensive as like a I don't know, four-year college, or maybe you just like take some online classes. Like, I know that Harvard University, they have a lot of free classes that you can take. I think that that's such a great way to, like, I don't know, just make you critically think in a different way. I just feel like after high school, and even in high school, you are learning, but it's such a different type of learning. In college, you're learning, but you're learning like what you think and how you feel. And even with like things that are more, I don't want to say static, but like kind of like math or like things that don't really have variables that can like change, even still, it's like still very much like a journey to get to like learning that, because in college, you're just like still like the teacher's like, okay, how did you get to this answer? I don't know. It's just different. I really did enjoy it. But again, with your question, is it useful in what you do today? I don't necessarily say it's directly useful, but I think it is useful in a lot of ways. And you guys also asked, you said, I got a job, great starting salary, but I want to go back to university and become a therapist. I'm scared I'll be making a mistake for going back to university. Whatever your heart desires for you to do, if you're like actually capable of doing it, whether it's financially or mentally, do that thing, because you will look back after you get this job and you've worked in it for 5 or 6 or 7 or 10 years or whatever, you will look back and be like, man, what if I had went back to university? Versus if you go back to university and then you like do the thing and you're like, you know what? Actually, I don't want to be a therapist anymore. That job's still going to be there for you. And maybe it's not that exact same job, but like some type of job is going to be there. And yes, I do think that like if you went and took the job now, you could go back to university later. But I think it's so much easier for us to like take a chance on something like that's different when we are like younger. And I don't say that. I mean, obviously I'm 31. So like I'm not saying that as you can't make changes as you like get older, but I think just society really puts a lot of pressure on us to not make changes or do things differently when we get older. So while you're in a space to like be comfortable to do something that just feels a little bit like scary or different, like just take a leap, do the thing. If you're able to do it, just do it. And yeah, that's all the questions I'll answer for now, but be sure to drop in your questions into the Love You Most Pod question box. I'll leave it on Monday and or Tuesday. There isn't really much else that I have to say. I'm doing a little challenge of reading 7 books in 7 days right now. So be on the lookout for that on YouTube. And I'll talk a little bit more about books later on whenever I finish that challenge, because I'm reading so many at one time right now. But I love you most, more than you know. Well, maybe not, but I do love you a lot. And I hope you guys have a great day. Bye, guys.